Welcome to Dividing Line, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. And now hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
This is Bill Darr with Dividing Line. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. I'm looking forward to this program. My very special guest today is my friend of 20 years now. His name is Reverend Rusty Thomas. Rusty is founder, director of Elijah Ministries in Waco, Texas. He may be reached at ElijahMinn.com, ElijahMinn.com. I really encourage you to go on, check out his website. He has an incredible amount of very good information that will help you on all areas of life, no question about it. Well, Rusty Thomas is a man of many talents. He's a former pastor, an evangelist, a pro-life leader, a teacher, an author, and frankly, just a prolific writer. He is a husband, a father of 13 children. He is a counselor and a friend to those in need. Most of all, Rusty loves and follows strongly after his King, King Jesus. If you're on Rusty's mailing list, get his emails, or go to his website, you know that he provides much and quality information that is beneficial to individuals and families alike. For example, Rusty's book, Kingdom Leadership Institute, and his training program under the same title should be a must-read and a must-do for every pastor, every father, every family. Well, recently, Rusty presented an article entitled Seeking the Blessing, Seeking the Blessing. Well, this title intrigued me. And frankly, as I relaxed with a good cup of hot coffee, anticipating the blessings of God, of being part of the Christian family, a part of me, actually much of me, was longing to hear of and be reminded of God's wonderful blessings. And to be sure, Rusty did a good job of making those wonderful points. But just about the time I started that second cup of coffee, Rusty began to expand the teachings of seeking the blessing. He began to address issues like cause and effect. He began to address issues of abuse and distortion of God's blessings. He even presented the proposal of blessings of persecution. Blessings of persecution. By now, my coffee had gotten cold and even a little bitter, I must admit. But I knew my friend was presenting the truth, and I must read on. And so I did. And as I completed the article, I thanked our Lord for his servant Rusty, who had the perspective, the insight, and the integrity to present God's wonderful blessings from a biblical perspective. And then I knew that we must tell others. So in Dividing Line today, Rusty and I will discuss the subject, seeking the blessing. Rusty, welcome to Dividing Line.
Oh, my gosh, Brother Bill. I got to take you on the road, brother.
Well, I want you to
know. What an introduction. I wish I would know this man. He sounds like a great guy.
Well, yeah, you ought to meet him sometime. Well, you were messing up my coffee drinking. I want you to know that. I mean, you know, I had my feet propped up, and I thought, well, this is a little unusual, I think, for Rusty. He's always so strong and powerful in the thing. And I said, I got to read this Seeking the Blessing. And I might know, as I said, as I get into about that second cup of coffee, you begin to broaden the message that most of us might consider when we're seeking a blessing.
And, you know what, brother? There are some blessings of Scripture that have fallen on hard times, and yeah. I think some, at least in our day, would think they're obscure. Now, I don't believe they're obscure in the sense of the Bible or in the sense of church history. It's just in the modern day era, brother, we have pretty much limited the scope of what we consider blessings by God. And I really felt, brother, I had an obligation to dig a little deeper and to share with God's people. There are other blessings that come from God. And I believe, Brother Bill, especially in our day, it is so important that we secure these kinds of blessings so that we might have a future and a hope for our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that was the thing I was going to ask, and essentially you focused on it. You know, why present this message, this teaching, if you will, at this particular time?
Well, brother, I think it's safe to say, brother, that once somebody becomes a Christian and falls in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and brother, it's hard to escape the reality in both Old and New Testament. We have this word blessed, blessed, blessing that comes up quite often. And I think every one of God's children, we're attracted to the blessing, especially in this fallen, cursed, and sinful world. You know, it's a crazy, dangerous world out there. And so, my goodness, if there's someone and some place or, some reality that would bring us some relief and some release, obviously that's attractive, and you want to seek those things. And so, brother, I think it's safe to say that many Christians, when they sign up for the kingdom of God, that seeking the blessing is an important part of our Christian faith and our Christian walk. So I wanted to, address, like you said, the subject of blessing, and kind of expound upon it and touch areas that we normally do not associate with blessing, but they are blessings nonetheless.
Yeah, they really are, Rusty, and I thought you did a tremendous job here, and that's the reason I just felt we had to do a program on this, because it's something that people need to really be thinking about, and I think what it will do is encourage each of us to really search the scriptures in a proper manner. Well, Rusty, one thing you mentioned right off here, you said that there are over 600 references to God's blessing in the Old Testament alone. Now, that didn't get in there by accident then, did it?
No, and when God repeats himself, it's not because he has a stuttering problem.
Yeah.
It's emphasis, brother. Emphasis.
Yeah.
In fact, when God had called Abraham, you see this twofold manifestation of blessing. He speaks to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a great nation.
Yes.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, of course, brother, we can't give what we do not possess or we do not have. And so, obviously, if there's any sense of receiving a blessing, it comes from the Almighty. And I also found this very, very interesting, brother. When I studied the Old Testament blessing, that word was associated with an action, which means to kneel. This is altogether fitting, because in earlier times, one would have to kneel to receive the blessing. And I believe, Brother Bill, this calls to mind that if we are ever going to receive the blessing of God in order to be a blessing unto others, there has to be a certain measure of humility. And I think that's very, very difficult, especially in the modern era. I think we have become very, very proud and a very, very arrogant people, especially in light of the sins and the rebellion that's going on in the United States of America. And so, brother, it's very, very important that we kind of humble our pride and bow before God, because really that is the place where we can find blessing.
And isn't that the way I think God taught? Because you would hear examples in the scriptures where boys would kneel by their father as they would ask for blessings, or you know, as a mantle was passed on, maybe in evangelism or what have you, we see that, and so I think that's a good point. Rusty, on you pointed out in Webster's 1828 dictionary a specific definition that I think needs to be put out there. Can you cover that for us?
Sure. This is, and I love Noah Webster's 1828 first edition dictionary. Every Christian home needs to have the Holy Bible. It needs to have Noah Webster's 1828 first edition dictionary. And I'd also include with that God and Country by William Federer, Encyclopedia of Quotes. With that, you can raise a godly family. Anyway, here's what he said. This is how he defined blessing. A declaration of divine favor, or an invocation imploring divine favor on some or something, a benediction, a wish of happiness pronounces. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 33. And I really love that about Noah Webster, Brother Bill. He was not ashamed to put biblical examples to define words in his dictionary.
Yeah.
Number two, a means of happiness, that which promotes prosperity and welfare, a beneficent gift. And he quotes Milton, nature's full blessings would be well dispensed. And then the last definition, grateful praise or worship.
So that's interesting. As you say, this dictionary really gave definitions referring and really looking to the Scripture. You see the scriptural principles in these, and so that's, I agree, that is, that's tremendous. Well, you mentioned Old Testament themes of blessings. I believe there were three prominent themes that I thought was very interesting, because I think this helps set, if you will, a framework for this total presentation. Now, you know, you talked there early on about in Genesis 12:2, where, you know, the Father blessed Abraham and instructed him to bless others. So why don't you tell us about these prominent Old Testament themes of blessing?
Well, brother, I discovered three, and the first one is the greater blesses the lesser. And this was the example that the Hebrew writer presented when it speaks of the superiority of Melchizedek when it comes to Abraham. Now, you know, more people know of Father Abraham, of course, than they know of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
But after Abraham came back from delivering Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot plundered, their cities to rescue these folks, he was met by Melchizedek.
Yes.
And when he met Melchizedek, he kind of humbled himself, recognizing him that he was, you know, like a high priest of the Lord. Of course, you know, some theologians and scholars believe this is the incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. And so Abraham bows before Melchizedek and gives him 10% of the spoil. And so it's just an amazing example here. How, you know, the greater blesses the lesser. And this would certainly be true as it relates to God's blessing upon man. Obviously, he is the greater one. In fact, he is totally other. and so his blessing upon man is far greater than our feeble attempts to bless God. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't live our lives seeking to bless God by, you know, obedience and love and devotion and seeking to please him rather than ourselves. But biblically, it says in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 50:12, it basically says this. This is God speaking to his creatures, mankind. He said, listen, even if I had a need, Do you think I would tell you? In other words, God is the all-sufficient one, and we find our sufficiency in Him. And the other kind of themes of blessing was it was a sign of special favor. And really, when you look at the blessing, it's God's gracious favor. You know, God rewards obedience, which results in godly success. And the third, anytime, you know, particularly, you know, men of God, when they wanted to pronounce a blessing, you know, upon their sons, their daughters, their families, or whatever the case may be, it was always to invoke God Almighty blessing. In Genesis 28:3, it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful." And so those are kind of some of the themes, brother, you discover in the Old Testament blessing. Like I said, and this particular word is recorded over 600 times. So this is an important theme of the Old Testament.
So, Rusty, could we say it's a principle that as we are blessed by God, we are to bless others?
Oh, brother, absolutely. Throughout Scripture, I think God has set up His kingdom in such a way, brother, that we cannot properly relate to Him without properly relating to others about us. Yeah. You know, in other words, He says, if we don't forgive, He's not going to forgive us. If we don't love the persons that we see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? Mm-hmm. And so, brother, you know, in order for our relationship to work right vertically between us and God, God has put so-called conviction upon us to make sure it works horizontally from men to men.
Yes.
And so, yes, this is a very, very important principle, brother. We have to be right with God, and the only way that we could be right with God, especially in these certain aspects, is to be right with our fellow man. Of course, it's only through Christ, brother, that we can get the patience and the long-suffering and the wisdom and the love to deal with unlovely people.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the underlying support, if you will, for biblically seeking the blessing. In other words, to seek it, to be able to pass it on to others. Well, this is such an interesting study here. You go on, Rusty, in Numbers chapter 6, and as we know, that talks about God spoke to Moses and instructed Moses to speak to Aaron and Aaron's sons. And what did he instruct Moses to do?
Well, it's amazing, brother, when you follow redemptive history, you know, Israel eventually became the object of God's blessing, and it was so pronounced that God instructed Moses to craft an official statement of blessing, and it became known as the Aaronic blessing. It's found in Numbers 6, 24 through 27. And in fact, Brother Bill, to this day, a lot of Christian churches, they close out their meetings giving this benediction, and this is what the word says.
Yes.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And this is the last part. And it says, and they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brother,
wow.
You know, the holy name, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the mighty and awesome and wonderful name of Jesus.
Yes.
Brother, if that name is upon us, brother, if we cry out to the Father in that name, God says, I will bless them.
Wow.
What a powerful, powerful example we have in the Old Testament of God's blessing.
So is that today, Rusty, the promise to the believer and the true follower of Christ?
Well, there's only one name given from heaven whereby men must be saved.
Yes.
There's one name that's above all other names, and at that name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
And brother, you know, actually, the name of Jesus means he's going to save his people from their sins.
Yeah.
And so we got... Apart from that name, there is no eternal blessing that is going to come to any soul.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you cannot forsake the name of Jesus and find the blessing of God. It's intertwined.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rusty, then you go on, and people who study the scriptures would be pretty familiar with this chapter in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it talks about God's blessings and God's curses. Address that for us, if you would, please.
Well, again, brother, you can't just believe or honor the notion of blessing without having to be confronted with the notion of cursing. Well, of course, in our day, we don't, you know, the modern day America, we normally don't view life from the perspective of God and his moral commandments being the infrastructure of reality. And so a lot of us view life kind of from a que sera, sera, whatever will be, chance, odds, or as some people call it, luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we kind of view life, if things are going our way, wow, we got good luck. And if things are contrary, oh, man, I'm just telling you, I got a dose of bad luck. And, of course, there's the eternal pessimist that says, you know, if I didn't have bad luck, I have no luck at all, right?
That's
so,
right.
But you know what, brother? When it comes to God and his scriptures, there is no such thing as luck. There are blessings associated with obedience, and there are curses associated with disobedience.
Yes.
The scripture tells us what a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I'm telling you, this was so important to God that he impressed upon Israel a visual object lesson. There were two mountains in Israel. I think one was Gerizim, and I forget the other one offhand, but there was a mount of blessing, and there was a mount of cursing. And so he had 12 tribes, you know, and they'd be broken up in half, and six tribes would climb one mountain, the Mount of Blessing, and the other six would climb the Mount of Cursing, and there was the Levites right in the middle, in the valley. And they would pronounce, you know, the covenant of God, the moral standards of God, the commandments of God, the holy laws of God. And they would say, you know, cursed is he, you know, who basically does not obey the Lord and keep his commandments. And the whole region would resound with a hearty amen as God's people was making covenant with the Lord.
Yes.
And so, you know, God was really trying to drive home the reality of blessing and cursing. And if you look at, you know, there was a time in America, even though we had problems and we were not a perfect nation by any stretch of the imagination, but I think overall we could say, wow, we're a blessed people.
Yes.
This is a blessed nation. God has favored us. But can we say the same today? And I think if we'll be very, very honest with ourselves, something has gone terribly wrong, and a lot of those blessings have been removed, and now what are we stuck with as Americans? You know, so this is a reality we got to deal with, brother.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And you know, whether we say it or not, Rusty, I'm afraid far, far too often that we seek the blessings, and we don't want to meet the requirements
for securing those blessings, I guess is the way I would put it that way. And you might just spend a minute. We've got about a minute or minute and a half here before we break, and we might just address that a little bit more. But
well, I just think the problem is, bro, I think a lot of particularly American Christians, we think blessing is all there is.
Yeah.
And I think we turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the reality of disobedience and rebellion and idolatry that will invoke the justice and the judgment of God upon the land. And so I don't think too many Christians would look at the United States of America and see the condition that we are in and the very dangerous and tumultuous times that we face and attribute that to God's justice and judgment or his curse upon the United States of America for going whoring after other gods and adopting the vain philosophies of men. I just don't think that appears on their screen.
Rusty, so gotta take a break. You hear the music there. This is Bill Darr with my friend Rusty Thomas for Dividing Line. We'll be back the second half hour, and we'll move into the New Testament to hear about some of God's blessings.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.com. .blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Love is a
Well, this is Bill Dar again with my friend Rusty Thomas, and we'll continue with the second part of an article that Rusty wrote recently that I thought was extremely pertinent to the year 2010 in Christendom. And the subject is seeking the blessing, seeking the blessing. And Rusty has done a good job, primarily in the Old Testament here, the first half, pointing out the scriptural way, if you will, of seeking the blessing and the responsibilities and so forth. Just to make sure that everybody understands that the total scripture covers this, now we're going to move over to the New Testament. And Rusty, like anything that you and I do together, there's never enough time, so I'm sure we're going to be crowded a little bit, but why don't you address briefly, you started it right out by talking about three Greek words that lead us into this in the New Testament.
Yeah, brother, and I think these Greek words, if you put them all together, it's where we get our word eulogy. And I'm not going to go to every one of them, but basically, yeah. Brother, it means well spoken of,
yeah.
You know, something or someone praised, to call down God's gracious power, and so it just deals kind of with praise, fine speaking, yeah. And that just, you know, calls to mind, brother, just how we have to guard our lips, you know, and speak with wisdom, and to speak in such a way that it would encourage and lift people up and prayerfully lead them to the saving grace and knowledge of God,
yes.
Where lies the blessing of God. And kind of what I point out, brother, is we've taken the sum total of the Old Testament blessing and the New Testament blessing. And in our day, brother, there are two major distortions. And the first one I want to deal with is the prosperity gospel.
Yes.
And when it comes to these two distortions, Brother Bill, they're both based on one fallacy, and that is they look at the world solely, especially as it relates to blessings, solely from the materialistic realm. And that is what gets people, you know, on a road, brother. There's ditches on both sides of the road. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
And God help us to stay on the straight and narrow. But the first kind of deformation is what we call the prosperity gospel. It is the gospel of self-enhancement. You know, be the best you can possibly be. And, of course, the call is to come to Jesus, confess his word, sort of the name it and claim it kind of deal, and obtain health, wealth, and prosperity in his name. Unfortunately, it has turned the gospel of the kingdom into what I call the great American church enterprise. And as a result of this, brother, materialism becomes the gauge to measure one's spirituality. According to this heresy, the more faith one exercises, the more wealth one should obtain. Mm-hmm. And brother, I believe in the New Testament. I have no problem with God blessing his people with wealth and even with material blessings. But I am telling you, the Bible is very clear. If that is your sole motivation for seeking God and seeking blessing, there is a lot of danger that the apostles pointed out. You know, here's the apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6:5, and he says this. He talks about those who kind of promote perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness.
Yes.
From such, withdraw yourself.
Yeah.
The Apostle Peter, he chimes in, and he says, and in their desire for profit, they will come to you with words of deceit, like traders doing business in souls whose punishment has been ready for a long time, and their destruction is watching over them, or watching for them. That's 2 Peter 2:3.
Yes.
So obviously, those who are motivated to preach God's word for filthy lucre's sake, brother, they're going to rule the day. And you can find that in Titus 1:11. So, You know, that's kind of one distortion of seeking the blessing in the modern era. But there's another one, brother, and it kind of takes the opposite of the prosperity, and this concerns poverty. And according to this view, poorness equals holiness.
Yeah.
The more one embraces poverty, the one supposedly grows spiritually. And some people call this pietism, others label it Neoplatonism. But this view believes that the material world that God created in and of itself is evil and needs to be avoided at all costs. And so they pretty much reject God's record and his affirmation that when he created the heavens and the earth, it was very, very good.
Yes.
And you know what? He hasn't withdrawn that. Now, sin entered the picture, no doubt about it. But it's sin is what's wrong,
yes.
Not the world, not the earth. I mean, the world is beautiful. Have you noticed the mountains and the streams and the universe and the stars and the mountain? You know, and the beauty and it's gorgeous.
Yes,
it's blessed.
You know, Rusty, I have a feeling whether we go overboard on prosperity or quite frankly the other way into poverty. The word I seems to come up a lot more. In other words, that's the way I see it, rather than maybe really searching the scriptures. But there's no question the abuse, and certainly I would say in modern day America, when your message is strictly prosperity, that sort of makes your ears feel good, and you like to have your ears scratched and tickled. The scriptures talks about, and you enjoy that, and some like to hear the poverty message, and as you point out, they're really both erroneous from God's point of view.
They are, brother, because they both view it from materialistic blessings.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, others pursue to obtain it, and others pursue to avoid it.
Yeah.
But I am convinced, according to God's word, brother, they're both missing the mark. You know, God's not upset about his people obtaining material wealth.
No.
What he is concerned about is material wealth obtaining his people. And God's very clear on this, Brother Bill. You can't serve God and mammon. And, and when Jesus says that, he knows the intoxicating, seducing effect of the almighty dollar when it comes to men's souls. He pretty much presented that as the number one idol that competes with the allegiances of men when it comes to God and his kingdom. And so we have to be mindful of these things. I mean, throughout the scriptures, how many times has he warned how hard it is for rich men to enter the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Because they're self-sufficient. They're full of themselves.
Yeah.
They got everything that they have need of, and they don't see their great need for a Savior, brother. And that's what makes it very, very difficult for them. They surround themselves with yes men. You know, whatever they say, they can do it. And I'm telling you, brother, that can lift you up and be haughty and proud and arrogant, and you forfeit the true blessing of God, which is the salvation of your soul.
Absolutely.
Of course, the poor don't escape, you know, whereas the rich may be haughty and proud and things of this nature. The poor, brother, they struggle with jealousy. They struggle with covetousness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And, of course, our politicians in America know how to exploit that class envy, brother, to keep each other's on our throats, which enables them, you know, to stay in power and tax us to death to keep up their monstrous programs. So, this is something, brother, that we really do need to grapple with and find God's truth. And I believe, brother, I found a great scripture in Proverbs that kind of strikes a good balance.
Yes.
And it says this. This is Proverbs 37-9. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Now watch this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you. See, that's the temptation of the rich.
Yeah.
And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God.
Yes.
And so, brother, you know what? I do believe that there are men in the body of Christ that he has anointed and appointed and has entrusted to them wealth. And we got to remember, wealth from God's perspective, brother, he said, remember the Lord your God, for it is I who gives thee the power to get wealth,
yes,
in order to establish my covenant in the earth. So I do believe, brother, there are men out there that are not full of themselves. They love God, and they're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And you know what? God blesses them. The earth,
yes,
yields,
yes, sir,
to their labors. And God even shows them the hidden treasures of the earth, the Bible talks about. Okay? But it's not for self-consumption or to keep some kind of status in the world.
Yeah.
Brother, these are the men that are funding the missionaries and providing for the church and feeding the poor and clothing the naked and providing, you know, crazy guys like us that go out on the streets to confront our culture with the claims of Christ, yeah, and the truth of his word.
And usually very quietly, Rusty, most people like that. So, good point. Well, so true. Well, let me ask you here, and I apologize for cutting in a little bit there, but I want to make sure we get to some more of these here. You talked, and I thought you really did a good job with this. You cover several things here, and it would be under the heading, you talked about major blessings often ignored. Major blessings often ignored. And the first one was the blessing of rebuking the wicked. Now, how's that a blessing?
Well, again, brother, it's from God's word. We,
yes,
find these blessings. And it's very important that we hear this. This,
yes,
is,
sir,
Proverbs 24,
yeah,
23 through 25. Listen to the word of the Lord. These things also belong to the wise. So let's test our wisdom before God here.
Yeah.
It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But watch this. But to them that rebuke him, speaking of the wicked,
mm-hmm,
shall be a delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Brother, do you know how much blessings we got stored up in that one scripture?
Oh, my.
My, 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 my.
Yeah.
And the thing that I found it interesting, brother, this was found in the same chapter in Proverbs where it talks about rescue those unjustly sentenced to death. Don't stand back and watch them die.
Yeah.
And so this is where God is calling his people to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And I'm telling you, brother, we in America, we are staggering under the weight of blood guiltiness through the American Holocaust, which we call abortion.
Yes.
And brother, and when you look how particularly like in Isaiah chapter 1, when God confronts Israel in this national sin, this is what he says. This is Isaiah 1, 15 through 17. He says, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Now get this. Reprove the ruthless. In other words, rebuke the wicked.
And give them a chance to repent then. Is that what I'm hearing? In other words, you love them enough to give them the truth and you rebuke them.
Absolutely,
yeah,
brother.
And
and what God is saying, there's a blessing when his people repent of their apathy and rebuke the oppressors,
yes,
and rescue those targeted for destruction. And brother, this specific blessing literally is tied to our national survival.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
I mean, so we think about all the Christians who are seeking blessings from God. How important is this particular blessing when we look on the horizon and we see this future,
yeah. Yeah.
That is tenuous, to say the least. And so, brother, this is an important blessing,
yeah,
to rebuke the wicked, to reprove the ruthless, to correct the oppressor. These things are very, very important. And God says it will be a delight and a good blessing will come upon those who perform these righteous duties. And somehow, brother, this is off the screen when it comes to the American church.
Well, I think we've got everything mixed up. We don't understand that rebuking can be an act of love. In fact, frequently it is. Probably most of the time it is.
Brother, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receives, brother. There is no love without rebuke or correction. Why is that? Because we're sinful creatures. We're full of ourselves. We're foolish. We are foolish, foolish people. Now remember, he said that this is for the wise. Think about that, brother. This is for wise people. Wise people rebuke tyranny.
Yes.
Wise people do this. What do foolish people do? They ignore it. They ignore it. And so what is missing from the equation? The blessing of God.
Yeah, yeah.
The blessing of God. So this is an important blessing we need to seek.
So he makes it real clear. Well, that is absolutely critical, Rustin. You've done a good job with that. We've got a few more here that we want to cover because these are so critical. You talked about then the blessing of turning.
Yes, brother. This comes from Acts 3:26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, brother, we live in a time, and you hear it, and I hear it. We see all the bumper stickers, you know, God bless America, land that I love, you know, stand beside her and guide her, you know. Mm-hmm. We sing the songs. We got the bumper stickers, God bless America. Well, you know Brother Flip, brother. We're close friends, and you've run with him, too. And and when that question was posed to Brother Flip Benham about God blessing America, his response was, do you think God has lost his mind?
Wow. Yes.
You think God is going to bless America while we're shedding innocent blood and sodomizing our sons and daughters and calling good evil and evil good?
He would be
Brother
inconsistent.
Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so, man, my phone's just freaking out here.
It sounded like it got weak there.
Okay, maybe let me go switch to another phone really quick in case this thing dies on me. Hold on.
I can hear you, brother, okay, but all right.
All right, here I'm on the phone. Is it okay?
Yeah, yes it is.
Okay, well, the point being, brother, there is a blessing that America desperately needs to be blessed by God. And that is turning each and every one of us from our iniquities. So I would encourage the brethren who are hearing this, you want God to bless America, then we need to pray that he grants this land the gift of repentance, that we would literally turn from our wicked ways so we could ask God to heal our land.
Wow, so true, Rusty. Well, Rusty, you continued on, and these are very serious but critical that we get all these in. You talk of the blessing of persecution, the blessing of persecution.
Yes, and that's based on Matthew 5:10-12.
Yeah.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Here's our problem, Brother Bill. We're living in a time where the evil one and the enemies of the cross have A, either pushed the perverted envelope, and B, has convinced the church that it is judgmental, unloving, or not Christ-like to say or do anything to defeat their wicked agenda.
Yeah.
And so, as a result, most of the church avoids the cosmic conflict that's savaging America. Here's our problem, though. As we avoid the battle for men's souls, the lives of children, the future of our nation, we are forfeiting the blessing of persecution. In other words, many Christians do not threaten the powers that be and therefore fall under this category spoken by demons, of all things. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. But who are you? And we got to remember what the Apostle Paul taught. He said yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And what we must understand, Brother Bill, is persecution is a complement from principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places that our practice of Christianity is effectual.
Yes.
That's
when you know.
Life, what's that, Brother Bill?
That's when you know. If in today's world, if you're not being persecuted at some level, then you're not being effective, right?
Well, absolutely, brother. You know, to live a Christian life that plunders the powers of darkness and sets the captive free, believe me, there's going to be a price to pay. And we got to remember, the Apostle Paul carried in his body the marks of the Lord. And I got to say, Brother Bill, you know, and you've been through this. You've been with us on the streets. You know, people curse us, flip us off, throw things. We suffer all kinds of different forms of persecution. But you know, when that happens, you know, that's when I turn to my brothers and sisters on the streets. I go, where else could you find this blessing?
That's right.
Where else can you get this blessing?
That's right.
And that is exactly what it is. And brother,
yes.
And again, you know, I don't want to encourage people to have a martyr's complex or anything like that. But I am telling you, brother, he says that if we're persecuted for the cause of Christ, he says, great is our reward.
Absolutely.
Is our reward. So why doesn't the church pursue this blessing?
Well, that's a great question. It's interesting, and Rusty, we're down to under 5 minutes now, but you know, you talked about Matthew 5, 10 through 12. So interesting in there. It says, blessed when men. So there's no doubt about it. And he says,
it's not if.
Yeah, right.
It's when.
And Jesus continues on. He says, this is all on account of me. So fully expect that kind of thing. Rusty, let's move quickly to the blessings of children. We want to make sure we spend a couple minutes on that.
Well, basically, brother, I deal with, Psalm 127 talks about blessed is the man who has his quiver full of children.
Yeah.
And I just go through really quickly, brother, how in the modern day era, the Church of Jesus Christ has a major disagreement over these blessings. We seek all kinds of blessings, but somehow we have not equated the blessing of God with children. And many in the church, brother, we've adopted this anti-child mentality. And we don't believe the good report of the Lord. We believe the report of this corrupt American culture that children are a burden, they're expensive, they're a hindrance to our pursuits, and on it goes. And I'm telling you, brother, the Word of God has a total different reality when it comes to children. So my point is this, brother, throughout Scripture, a fruitful womb was considered the blessing.
Absolutely.
And a barren womb was considered the curse, and that has totally been reversed in our day. And I would imagine many people who go to church, they actually believe that the barren womb is the blessing and the fruitful womb is the curse. And the reason why I know that, brother, I got 13 children.
Yeah, I hear
and
you,
I'm
brother.
Telling you, I walk in churches and they put up the cross like they're going to defend themselves from catching this multi-generational kingdom vision that I have with having a large family.
Yes.
But this thing is jumping up and biting us, brother, because
yes,
ideas
is.
Have consequences. And this is where the threat of Islam comes in, brother, because what they couldn't do with the sword to conquer Europe and now moving into America, they're doing by immigration and population. So they've hijacked a Christian doctrine. They're multiplying. They're having children. And what is the Christian West doing? We're exercising birth control and abortion. Now, you tell me what is going to happen in the future if the church does not repent and get on the same page with the blessing of children that God has pronounced upon them.
Well, that's where God will let you, if you insist on it, destroy yourself. And you hit it right on the head. And we see Islam moving in more all the time, and we know the answer, but we seem to continue on down the road of modern-day America rather than thus saith the Lord. So,
amen.
You know, I was just thinking myself, Rusty. I'm the youngest of seven children. My folks would have never considered abortion, of course. But in the modern mindset, I hear it all the time. Well, we already got two or three children. We don't need any more. And you know, obviously my folks understood the blessing. They understood the scriptural point of view just like you do, and we do with our wonderful six kids and our grandchildren. But it's so not being taught properly. So good job on that. Rusty, let's spend about 1 minute here on blessing the blessing, okay?
All right. This is very, very important. Yeah. Bless them that curse you. That was the teaching of our Lord.
Yes.
And the Lord gave us the example, brother, that when he was persecuted, he didn't respond in like. In other words, when there was guile and threatenings against him, he did not return guile and threatening, but he committed himself to the Heavenly Father who judges righteously. Now, here's the key, brother, and this is the key to Christian success in plundering the powers of darkness and setting the captive free. We got to follow the example of our Lord. We have to boldly stand upon the truth, and we got to follow hard after Jesus. Now, Jesus said, if you do this, you will be hated by all men in all nations. There will be persecution. There will be retaliation. Well, when they crucified and mocked and vilified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what was his response? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And it's at that point, brother, the very love and the forgiveness of God, God's justice was satisfied, and it freed him, brother, to flood the earth with love and forgiveness.
Yes.
To set free guilty sinners like you and me.
Amen.
And brother,
amen.
I gotta tell you, this is what the American church has to come back to. We gotta boldly stand for the truth. We gotta preach it, and preach it that we impress it upon the souls of men that they can't escape that reality. They'll scream, they'll cry, they'll say all manner of evil against us falsely. But brother, when they attack us, as surely as they will, it's at that moment we unleash the love.